one of the most unusual statements to have ever been made within my lifetime is this. Christians are hateful people. If there is a statement which is misguided, strange, and flat out wrong, I think this is it. Now, it's possible for a person to profess that he or she is a member of God's kingdom, a citizen of God's kingdom, and be hateful. I understand that. But I'd suggest and teach, based on what we find in the scriptures, that it is simply impossible. There is no one who is a true Christian who is also a hateful person. Having a true Christian who's a hateful person is simply impossible, because Christians have, the saved possess, and they demonstrate something called agape love. Now, I know that we've missed some time as far as assemblies, but if you've been here over the last 3 or 4 weeks, you have heard at least one lesson about agape love. We've actually dealt with this topic 2 times, and today is the 3rd time. In our first study, if you were not here, we examined 4 different words, 4 different Greek words for love, one of those being agape, and showed the differences between those 2 terms, or between those 4 terms. In our second study, last time, we examined the fact that if we want a good relationship in marriage, if we want a good relationship with someone at school, in the workplace, if we want a good relationship with people in our neighborhoods, the way to do that, the way to accomplish that, is through agape love. Today we want to look at agape love from a different perspective yet again. Today we want to look at some of the things associated with God and agape love, how that agape love is reflected to us. And then based on what we see coming from God, we want to consider how we can take these qualities and reflect them back to others within our lives. Now, if you've seen the outline, you know that we're going to cover a lot of territory. I want to look at agape love from 10 different perspectives. 10 ways that God gives us agape love, and 10 ways that we can reflect that agape love to others. Point number 1 can be summed up by the nature of agape love. When we think about agape love and its nature, this is part of who God is. God's nature consists of many things, but certainly a significant part of that nature is love, agape love. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, that love, and this is the word agape. In fact, every time I use the word love today, it will be agape love from the scriptures. 1 John 4, 7 says love, agape love, is of, it is from God. And then in 1 John 4, verse 8, that next verse, the Bible there says, John tells us that God is love, agape. Paul picked up in the same point in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. He says, God is the God of love. Well, this is agape love. There is no question that when we try to figure out who God is or what God is, that we are looking at a being which is filled, which is possessed by love. And not only does God present himself as someone who is filled with love, he is someone who, as his nature, wants to express, he wants to demonstrate, he wants to give that love. The fact that God's nature is based on agape love is important for us. It's important for this reason. If we are a Christian, and I think everybody in this room today would profess that if we are of an accountable age, if we are a Christian, we are a follower of Christ. And while at Fried Hardeman a few weeks ago, someone I thought made a good point about the name or the designation Christian. The speaker took the word Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N, and pointed out how the Christ in that word, C-H-R-I-S-T, tells us who we follow. And then he said, take those last 3 letters of Christian, I-A-N. And the speaker said, we are a follower of Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. And if we're not his follower, I ain't nothing, I-A-N. I like that. That's a pretty good way to sum up the word or the designation Christian. Well, if Christ and God, deity, are at their nature filled with agape love, and we are a follower of Christ, if we are a follower of deity, then it should be our obligation, we should have that desire to also reflect, to demonstrate that agape love in our lives. Since the nature of God is not just love, but it is agape love, that should also be at the center of who we are. If we could just bare our souls, if we could open ourselves up and see what is at our core, if we could look at what is truly in our heart, if we're a Christian, agape love should be exactly what we find. Our life should then characterize, it should demonstrate that agape love on a regular basis. It should be how we start our day. As we go throughout our day, agape love should also be what drives us and what guides us. And then when we come to the end of our day, maybe we come to the end of the day tired, maybe we come to the end of the day frustrated, maybe we come to the end of the day unhappy for some reason, agape love should also be how we end our day. We should work to show agape towards God and towards those around us day after day, hour after hour. As of this very moment, as of right now, do people know us? by our love. If our funeral were preached within the next few days, would those who attend talk about our life of love as they heard someone present a lesson about us? When we think about agape love, oftentimes people look at it in simply terms of close relationships. And certainly there are those, even among the unsaved, who will try to take at least some degree of agape love and apply that or reflect that to the people that they are close to in life. Well, that's good to extend agape love to the people who are close to us. But that's not what the Bible says Christians do. Just as God loves all people, such is to be true for His people. Point number two, when it comes to God's agape love, is that it is universal. We remember John 3, verse 16, another passage where the word agape is used. For God so loved, there's the agape. And then we have the scope of that love. For God so loved the world. There is not a single place on the planet where God's love does not go. I think a lot of people are familiar with that fact. But they've not really considered how, if they have that agape love, this detail should be reflected or used in their lives. If we think we've got agape love, how far have we let that love go? Over the past week, how far did we reflect that love? Was there a customer in a workplace that irritated us? If not last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe within the last 6 months, the last year, did we extend that agape love to that customer who irritated us? Do we have a child that sometimes misbehaves, irritates us, maybe angers us? Do we try to extend that agape love to that misbehaving child? If we work in the secular realm, is there a coworker that almost always rubs us, almost always irritates us, almost always agitates us? Do we try to show agape love to that person? What about the person at school, the bully? What about the person at school who irritates us for some reason? Do we try to show agape love there? If agape love is at the core of our nature, if it is at the center of who we are, we're going to fail sometimes. But we should, as life goes by, get better and better at showing agape love to all people. As we learned last time when we said in agape love is the kind of love which is unconquerable goodwill towards others. That was, I think, the exact wording that Sherman used in his prayer the last Sunday that we met. Help us to show unconquerable goodwill towards others. That is agape love. Regardless of how others treat us, regardless of how others say things about us, maybe in a negative way, we want the very best for them. Point number three. In our study of agape love, we find from the scriptures that this kind of love is involved with sacrifice. God's universal love, that agape love, required a sacrifice from Him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, John said that God's agape love was manifested. God's agape love was demonstrated. God showed us agape love by sending His Son into the world. And then in that next verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, John picks up this same basic thought, states it with slightly different wording, but he makes this same point again. Agape love coming from God is a sacrificial love. It is a love which is extended to friends. It is a love which is extended to strangers. And the Bible says God's agape love is even extended to our enemies. When was the last time? Today? Yesterday? Within the last month? Or maybe it's been years. When was the last time that we truly sacrificed something to help someone? When was, if we had that agape love in our hearts, when was the last time when we really sacrificed something to help a stranger? If we want that agape love in our lives, when was the last time that we sacrificed something to help an enemy? I hope that we'd say, well, I've never done that. Surely we are not of the mind where we would say that we'll not sacrifice for those who hate us or disdain us. Surely we'd not say we want bad things to happen to our enemies. That's not how God acts. Because agape love is at His core. He wants the best for people. He doesn't want any person to perish, no matter how bad they are. We thus, if we have agape love at the center of who we are, it is that universal love. It is that desire to have people experience the very best. And sometimes that means that we're going to sacrifice. Like God, if we are a Christian, we want the very best for people in a universal way. Now, if we were to take these three points, I think we could stop the lesson right here. Because they're more than sufficient, they're more than adequate to take home and begin to think, well, how can I make sure that these things are really part of my life? I mean, these three points that we've looked at thus far are enough to challenge us for quite a while. But you know, when we begin to look about agape love, what it involves as far as coming down from God to us, and how we should reflect that back to others, there's more, there's a lot more. as we think about agape love and how it's associated with God, we come to point four. And when we look at God's agape love, we find that it is a love which is undeserved. When we were sinners, Romans 5 verse 8, when we were hostile to God, the worst kind of enemy, Paul said in Romans 5 verse 8 that God loved us. Have we ever done something nice and even sacrificial for someone who doesn't like us? Can we look back at a time, maybe multiple times, where someone who really disdained us, someone who despised us in the worst possible way, and we decided, I'm not only going to try to help you, but I'm going to try to do the very best I can for you because I have agape love. And maybe as you engaged in that undeserved act for someone, they were so shocked, they were so stunned, that they came to you and, what do you want? Nobody does that kind of thing for me if I have that relationship with them. And they were suspicious. I know you're up to something. I know you've got an agenda. I just don't know what it is. So what are you trying to get from me? Ever had that experience? Well, if you have agape love for people and this is what you're trying to do, you will at times get that very kind of reaction. The Bible tells us that our love, if it's agape love, it not only needs to be shown to people, it needs to be known to people. And it will be known to people if we show it. Point number five. When we think about God's love in the sense of agape, we find that it's associated with mercy. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 14, Paul connected God's agape love with the word mercy. Now, mercy is an interesting word. Mercy suggests, first of all, that there is a person who's in a state of distress. Mercy suggests that there is a person who has some kind of issue, there is something going on in his or her life that is painful, that's hurtful, and they could really use some help. The second aspect of mercy means that we are someone who tries to step in and offer assistance. We may not be able to fix everything. We may not be able to do everything that the person wants. But here is someone who needs help, and we show up saying, I'm ready to do for you what I can. That is part of agape love. As I think about this quality, the Good Samaritan comes to my mind. You know, there were two fellows, two really religious guys, who saw a fellow who was on the side of the road. And these two fellows who passed by, they were both religious, or at least they should have been very religious, and they should have had agape love in their hearts. But the Bible says they left that guy who had been beaten and left for dead. Not too loving. And then there's this other fellow, there's this third guy who shows up. He's a Samaritan, and he sees this fellow, he has mercy on him. There is, not specifically used in the text, but there is love in his heart. Takes care of the guy to the best of his ability, puts the guy in his animal, takes the guy to an inn, pays for some medical care, and is willing to pay some more if such is necessary. He had true love. He showed mercy. A few days ago, there was an email that hit my inbox. It was, as it was marked, from a preacher who actually directs a school of preaching. The text of the email said that this brother was in the Philippines, he had been robbed, and he needed emergency help. Now this was possible. I didn't think it was probable, but I thought at least it's possible. So I'm going to, as far as making sure that this fellow is not in that country and not in desperate need, I'm going to send a note to the church office to make sure that he is somewhere in the United States. Well, as I suspected, got a reply back after a bit. His email had been hacked and someone was trying to reach out to his contacts in a very convincing way. All the words were spelled correctly, that kind of thing, and get money from his contacts. As this fellow began to figure out what had taken place and how he'd been hacked, it became clear because of a follow-up message he sent that a lot of people contacted him. He said, I was just inundated. I was impressed. I was thankful for all the people that followed up to make sure that I really wasn't half-dead over there in the Philippines. Now, as I was looking at that email and thinking about this particular material, I wondered this. What if it hadn't been a well-known and well-respected preacher? What if this email had come from someone who didn't have many friends? What if it had come from a wayward Christian who had fallen on hard times and had few friends? The Christians that received that email, would they have also responded? Would they have followed up and said, we love you, we're concerned about you, we know that you're an out-of-duty Christian, and we want to make sure that you're okay. We want to show mercy on you. How many would have responded? I don't know. Only God does. But agape love should cause us to be mindful of all those who have need. Now, they may not, in our eyes, be deserving. They may not, in our eyes, be people that we think, well, you probably shouldn't get any help. Now, if they're scammers and cheaters, that's kind of a different issue. But we should try to reach out to people who need assistance, even if they are, in the eyes of society, throwaway people. When people are down and out, when people are hurting, We, if we have agape love, should look at them and say, you're loved. We're going to help you to the best of our ability. We may not be able to do everything that you want to do. Maybe can't do everything that you need done, but you're loved and we want to help you. Point six. Agape love is a saving love. Paul connected agape love with salvation in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And from this we find that if a person has agape love, that means that they want to do the very best to help people, to rescue people in various situations. In some cases, it may involve something like a house on fire. You know, not just trying to help a person because we might get paid for it, that we might appear in the evening news, but we love that person, we love that family, we love those kids. Or that rescue might come in a financial form. You're having some financial difficulties, and maybe we can't help pay every bill, but we can do at least something for you. And we want to step in and aid you to the best of our ability. That rescuing people that Paul connects with agape love, it also applies in the spiritual realm. You know, if we love people, the last thing that we should want for them is for them to spend everlasting punishment in hell. Agape love for people, in a universal sense, that we want each one that we meet, friend or foe, stranger perhaps, to spend eternity in heaven. And thankfully, today, helping people come to a knowledge of the truth is easier than ever. We can reach people with the gospel even if we know virtually nothing about the scriptures. We've got tracts, we've got DVDs, we passed out the muscle and the shovel book. We simply have every possible tool that's available to us. And we simply can't stand by and let people, if they are not prepared to spend eternity with God, go into eternity being in that unprepared state. Point seven. When we look at agape love in the Bible, the scriptures tell us it is a strengthening and it is a conquering love. In the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 37, Paul spoke about agape love, and the wording that he uses, the force of it in the original text, is it not only makes us a conqueror, but Paul says it makes us a super conqueror. Love is one of the most powerful forces on the planet if it falls into the agape category. Several years ago, and I don't think there's anybody here but me that still knows the story, but several years ago, I can remember how even before I came, not long before then, but about that time, there was one of our members who was sick, seriously, seriously ill. And one of our members from here, who is no longer with us, decided to go over and see if he could help this brother. And the brother needed someone to sit up with him all night, not go to sleep, stay up with him from the time he got there to the time that was appointed for the next day. And this fellow had, I believe, worked a full day. 8, 10, 12 hours, get a quick bite of supper, and now go over and sit with this person that if you're going to sit there, you've got to stay up with them. So likely about 24 hours of time that he had to stay awake, no nap. And that man, that Christian, went over to this brother's house and stayed up with him the whole night to make sure that he was adequately cared for. True love conquers. True love strengthens. Agape love has conquered hate. It's restored fractured relationships. It's brought together people in broken marriages. And it's taken care of years of hard feelings. Love has strengthened love. It has forged new and better bonds and relationships, including the married, and sometimes has created lifelong bonds. Love is not only the golden chain that binds. Sometimes we sing about that. But it can reunite people who have been torn asunder in the most severe ways. Point number eight. As we think about agape love, we find that coming from God, it is something that is inseparable. When people have agape love for one another, they may not see one another for many years. I've seen cases where Christians have been disconnected for 20 plus years. They've been disconnected, and now that's changed a little bit with things like the internet and email. But I've seen cases where Christians have been disconnected by time, distance, communication, and yet, as they get together after a period of 20 or 25 years, they pick up just like that. They're able to go back and resume really where they left off because they have that love, that agape love, one for another. Paul asked in Romans chapter 8 concerning agape love. He said, what can separate us from the love of God? Can time do it? No. He says, can distance separate us from the love of God? He said, that's not enough. He says, if you go to heights, depths, if you pick out some creature, he says, there is not a single force, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Whatever our circumstances, wherever we are, agape love is so powerful, it is always with us. It is that super conquering power. And that's encouraging to us. Agape love is literally one of the best, one of the finest things in the world. So it's not surprising that as Paul ends 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he's talked about all kinds of interesting and good things. He says, the greatest of these, do you remember, is love. What kind of love, Paul? Storge, phileo, eros? No, he says the greatest of these is agape love. Point 9. Agape love is rewarding. James in James 1 verse 12 said that there is a crown of life for some folks. Well, that sounds like that's a good thing. James says that the people who will receive the crown of life are the people who have love. And the point there, I think, is not just that you possess love, but you are going to use that love, you're going to reflect that love, you're going to show and demonstrate that love. Agape love, of course, is not the only criteria to receive the crown of life, but it is part of what God requires from us if we want to be classified as one of His people. Now that should make perfect sense, that God says if you have agape love, you're going to be among the saved. Because remember, that's part of God's nature, where we started. And that's part of that nature that we also need to have in our lives. If we possess one of the most fundamental qualities when it comes to the nature of God, why would we not be saved? If we are someone who has that agape love for God, our sorrow, our soul, our strength, our mind, and thus, of course, obedience, true love includes that, we will be the kind of people that God wants to be in fellowship with. We will be the kind of people that the Lord will eventually say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. James, not through with the topic of agape love in that next chapter, James 2 verse 5, he says the kingdom, God's kingdom is for those who have love, and not just any kind of love. But that word love there in James 2 verse 5 is once again the word agape. When we practice agape love in this life, God says you're going to be rewarded. You are going to be blessed. Helping someone who hates us, if it's done with the right motive, and if perhaps it's done often enough, and that may be weeks, that may be months, maybe that's years, but that agape love can result in many good things. There are cases where the worst of enemies have become friends because of agape love. Showing love in the form of agape is one of the best forms of encouragement we can offer to someone. And in most cases, it doesn't cost us a single red cent. All kinds of blessings flow from agape love, and those blessings, James 1, James 2, will only get better in eternity. True love should not be something we do at just certain times. As we said earlier, this is part of God's nature. God says, I am love. And He says to His people, if you want to be one of my followers, then this is something that also needs to flow from your lives. Point 10. When we think about agape love and how it relates to God, the scriptures tell us that God is love. But that love does not eliminate things like discipline and correction. You know, the Hebrew writer very plainly, very clearly said that God chastens. God disciplines. Who? The people He loves. The people He has agape love for. A lot of people, I think, look at God and they think, oh, He's going to let me do whatever I want. He's never going to correct me. He's never going to chasten me. My life will be free of problems. God says that's simply not true. If you believe that, you're reading some of the book, not His book. We are not perfect people. And sometimes those imperfections get to the point where we really start to drift off the rails. And God says, He's aware of that. And because God loves us, because He has that agape love, He says, I will chasten you. I will correct you. Well, this aspect of agape love, just like the preceding nine, is also important for us today. All too often, young children, maybe their grandchildren will say, if you love me, you're not going to punish me. If you really love me, you would not discipline me. You would not correct me. You would not stop me from doing this. And then the world comes along and says the parents who love their children, the parents who are in that category, they do not discipline. Certainly they would not spank them as appropriate. The world's wrong on discipline. The world's wrong when it comes to agape love, when it comes to correction, just as it is wrong on virtually every other aspect of agape love. Those who lack agape love are really people who refuse to discipline others. Agape love means that we want the very best for people. And sometimes, for the person to get the best, they need to be corrected. They need to be disciplined. If parents let their kids do whatever they want, and they don't discipline, and sometimes that discipline in the younger years involves spanking, they lack true love. Parents that fail to teach their kids what's right, and then they fail to enforce that information, they are really derelict in their spiritual responsibilities when it comes to child rearing. God is not a derelict father. He's not going to just sit by and let His people do whatever they want and not try to bring them back. God wants us to understand the power of agape love. He wants us to see that it flows from Him in all kinds of ways. And then as we put that into our nature, then that flows from us in all kinds of ways. Is that how we're trying to live the Christian life? Are we someone who has really come to realize that loving God means loving Him with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, all our soul, everything that we have, we're trying to put it into Him on a regular basis? And have we come to realize that that agape love means obedience? And then the big question, are we trying to show that agape love, that unconquerable goodwill, to not our loved ones only, certainly they qualify, but to the stranger and also to our foes? Great questions, important questions, and salvation questions. James 1 and James 2. There is the crown of life for the people who have that agape love. The kingdom of God is for those who have agape love. If you want the good life now, it comes with and through agape love. If you don't have that, the Bible says it's something that you can possess. It's not tied to people who have certain qualities. The person who wants to obey, the person who wants to submit to God, faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and then start living according to God's word. Agape love is going to be part of your life as you follow the scriptures, and it will bless you immeasurably now and throughout eternity. If we've picked some other way, let's think about our choices, and let's make the right choice. Perhaps needing to turn to become a Christian, maybe getting back on the right road. Maybe there's some things we've not thought about before when it comes to agape love. God says you've got at least one more chance to get it right, and that chance is now. If we can help you do that, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.